You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
Amen. Okay, John chapter 11 today. If you're familiar with John's gospel, John is the one and only gospel writer that includes what he's known for as these I am statements that Jesus makes. And John is so intentional to lead us to a point through all of these statements that Jesus says at different times before people listening, following, and tracking with him, that he is the covenant God of Israel. It's easy for us to move past this, but when Jesus made these I am and then personified something from life that they would connect with, these were, to some people, blasphemous statements. And yet John has a purpose in mind, because at the end of his gospel, he tells us why he's bringing this all together on the screen for us. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John writes this: "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That is the point and the purpose of John's gospel. I often wonder, with this kind of illustration of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, sitting down together at a round table, and they're all talking about why they are including certain stories or teachings or miracles of Jesus. And I often wonder, John, why were you the only one to include John chapter 11, "I am the resurrection, the life," where Jesus is about to raise Lazarus back to life again after being dead for 4 days? Why is it that you're the only one? I think it's this. Because John says, I want to lead people through my gospel on a journey to be confronted with the question, what do you make of Jesus? And even for us today, as we come to John chapter 11, even as we think about the context of planting churches, even as we pray for the end of this ministry year, and God, what's next for Hope Oakville? We want people to be confronted with the question, what do you make of Jesus? And John leads us today in his gospel, chapter 11, to say, well, I'll tell you one thing that you need to be confronted with about Jesus. Do you believe he's the resurrection and the life? Because if you believe this, your life can change today. And maybe some of you just hear me say that and thought, well, that seems a little bit dramatic. I absolutely believe that your life could change today. If you have not looked to Jesus Christ today as your resurrection and your life, faith is so important in our passage today that Jesus will take your life and he will transform it today. He'll give you a new lens, a new life perspective to live through. That's what he's going to confront in our passage today. And those of you here today and you know Jesus Christ as your resurrection and life, you get it. I mean, your life is changing. You have a hope now, a perspective now. But for others here today, maybe you're wondering, how did I get to church? And this guy's all fired up about John 11, telling me that my life could change. You could walk out of church today with a passion in your heart and a perspective for future glory that you did not expect to come when you came today. And that's why I believe John 11 is so important, why it's blessed me so much in these last number of weeks. I want to stir us today to believe three particular realities about the resurrection. And this will come out in our passage today, but if you believe them today, you walk away with truth and hope and perspective that maybe you weren't expecting, or you hold on to, and you say, yes, God, that is what I'm clinging to in this life until it's all complete one day. So John chapter 11, I want to read verses 17 through 27, which is our passage today, but just a little bit of context in the first part of chapter 11 that John has been writing about. Jesus is making these claims that he is God, and twice now people have tried to stone him, and so Jesus and his disciples need to get out of Jerusalem for a little while. It's getting a little too spicy there, and so they get out into the region where then word comes to Jesus and his disciples that your good friend whom you love, Lazarus, is ill. And he's close to the point of death. And Jesus delays going to Bethany to go visit, or maybe even just to heal him, because something else is at stake. And Jesus says the glory of God is about to be displayed. And so he stays with his disciples until now the time comes after Lazarus has passed, where verse 17 continues. So follow with me now in the word of our God. "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." I want you to note for a moment, verse 25 is really the heart of this exchange between Jesus and Martha. Verse 25 reveals to us, again, to John's purpose and his writing, this "I am" statement that Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, our passage today is so much more than just acknowledging a statement that Jesus makes and saying, okay, that must be true for him as he says it. But as we're going to find out, believing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that's the power of life transformation for you and I today. To look to Jesus and say, "Yes, as Jesus said that, I believe that that is true" in our passage today. And that is where, church, we will see that faith makes all the difference. When you believe in Jesus as the resurrection and the life, that makes all the difference in your life. As I said, it'll change your perspective. It gives you a hope. It gives you a future. It gives you something to deal with in the circumstances or the suffering or the trials that you find yourself in this life, because you're longing to the resurrection and the life who will one day make all things new. Look with me at verse 21. As Jesus makes his way into the city today, just outside, likely where they often would lay people who had passed away into tombs outside the city, Martha meets Jesus, and we find out that Bethany was near Jerusalem, 2 miles off. It's one of the reasons why Jesus' disciples are a little confused about Jesus. Why do you want to go back to that region? They just tried to kill you, and yet he is set on getting to Martha and Mary and those grieving the loss of his friends. So when we come to verse 21 now, we get this exchange between Jesus and Martha that in our passage today is so significant. I want you to notice what she says to him. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." If you had been here. You know, she believes that Jesus could have made all the difference in the world, but Jesus, you got here 2 days too late. Maybe 3 days too late or 4 days too late. But Jesus, if you were here, it would have been a different story for Lazarus. I believe you would have changed it, or I believe that there would have been a different narrative that we're telling now, because you would have come, you would have intervened, and you would have made a difference, because Jesus, you make all the difference in the world. You ever feel like that in certain seasons, like God didn't show up on time? Or maybe you went through a certain season or a trial or something happened in life and you just thought, "God, if you would have been here on time, I think it would have been different. If you would have answered that prayer on time, or God, if you would have responded in this way instead of how you did reveal your answer," whatever it might be. Do you ever feel like God got his timing wrong? Because church, if you believe in a sovereign, providential God, your God is never late. He's never late. Sometimes he's doing something that you can't see. Sometimes he's working in you. Sometimes he's refining you. Sometimes he's teaching us something, but our God is never late. And so even when Martha comes to Jesus in this moment of verse 21 and they begin to talk to each other and exchange questions and Jesus reveals to him, Martha still believes, even in how you chose to respond in delaying your coming, "I still believe, Jesus, that you are able to make a difference." And that's what I want us to focus our thoughts on in this first point here. Point number one, that Jesus is able to resurrect. He is able. Jesus, you got here a little bit too late, but you are able. And we're going to see this in verse 21 and verse 22. As we read verse 21, Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But look at verse 22. This is almost more profound. Because Martha says to Jesus, "But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." So Jesus, I know that when Lazarus was sick, you could have made a difference, but now effectively she says to Jesus, but even now after he's died, I still believe whatever you ask of God, the Father, he will do for you. Even now I know. At this point, as we read in verse 17, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. And yet somehow in this moment, Martha still believes that Jesus is the difference maker. You could have been here on time, but even now, Jesus, you are able. Whatever you ask, I know that God will do for you. Now, that maybe should cause us just to pause and just to ask the question, why does Martha look to Jesus as the one who's able to make all this difference? I mean, what is it about Jesus that she looks on him and says, Jesus, in this moment, you almost a request, you could ask God of anything, then I know he'll do it for you. What's different about Jesus in this than maybe the other people that they had in their life, consoling them, comforting them, that gives her such hope in this moment? Well, I think first of all, she believes that her Jesus before her in that moment, he's the one who possesses the power. He's able to because he possesses the power. Sometimes in life, we look at a certain situation or we look at things that we've been praying through or God, how are you gonna accomplish this? You know, months ago, I wondered, God, how's this church gonna begin? And how are you gonna work in this way? Or how are you gonna stir people that wanna be a part of this? And there are all questions in those moments, but nothing is too hard for our God. In fact, in Jeremiah on the screen for us, there's this wonderful reminder in Jeremiah that God spoke to Jeremiah, to his people, to remind them, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? I invite you to ask that question in your life right now today. Just maybe that's that prayer you've been praying or that situation you wonder, is God actually able to come through on this? Is he able to do it? Is he able to move or work or answer, whatever it might be? Is anything too hard for your God? For the parent who's been praying for the prodigal child, God, would you break them? God, would you bring them home? God, bring someone into their life that would point them to Jesus, that they would see how much they need you. Is that prayer too hard for your God? Or for the educator, the teacher right now in this season, this final month of school in June, saying, God, I just need strength to get through June. I need patience. I need perseverance to get through this month, just to get to the summer. God, are you able to give me the fruit of the Spirit to, with my coworkers, just get through this month in particular? And maybe you're looking to God saying, God, are you able to do this? Is anything too hard for your God, teacher, educator? Or maybe it's the senior right now dealing with the treatment plan or walking through these final steps of something that's been going on in your life, a particular diagnosis, and you're saying, God, just give me strength every day. I feel so weak right now. I feel so broken right now. Is anything too hard for your God? Or maybe to the Christ follower who says, God, I've been lacking passion. I wanna feel the joy and I wanna feel the fire burning like it did when I first came to you, and God, the coldness has crept in, and I just want you to light my life on fire again. Give me a passion. Give me a burden to share with my coworkers about Christ. Give me opportunities with my neighbors. Is anything too hard for your God? That's the question we ought to ask in these moments, because Martha, she's looking to Jesus and she's saying, Jesus, I believe that you are able because I believe that you possess the power. Whatever you ask, whatever you desire to do in this moment to display your glory, you can and you are able to do. But also because Jesus paved the way, that's why she can look to him and see him as one who can make a difference, because Jesus paved the way. Maybe you've thought about these verses before on the screen for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have this beautiful reminder in this verse that Paul writes, and you have this greater context, but Paul says, but in fact, if Christ has been raised from the dead, he's the first fruits. You ever thought about Christ as the first fruits who goes before in his resurrection, so that Martha can look to Jesus today and say, I know that you're the one who is the resurrection. I mean, she's gonna get that in a few moments when Jesus displays as a foretaste of resurrection with Lazarus that one day you will resurrect all, but Jesus is the first fruits. In Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 19, Jesus says, because I live, you also can live. or you also will live. But that's only possible today because Jesus Christ, our resurrected Savior, is the one who's able to say, I've paved the way for you. I possess the power and I've paved the way. And that's why Martha looks to Jesus and says, you can make all the difference. The resurrection is so important for our faith. That was Paul's argument in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's writing about the importance of the resurrection. Even in church, the reason why we love this, the symbol or the logo of the open tombstone is because the resurrection hope that we have in Jesus Christ is a hope that no one in this world, nothing in this world can match. Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection. And as we're going to see in just a moment, not only does he possess that power and did he pave the way, but then he invites us to receive that type of resurrection and life in our lives so as to look forward to one day when he will make all things new. It's a beautiful invitation as Paul is outlining for us. We have to believe in the resurrection. We have to believe that our Jesus paved the way for us because if he did not resurrect, if you know those words of Paul, he says, we are of all people most to be pitied. Because then the world looks at you and says, what a scam or what a fraud you've given your life to. But Paul in verse 20 says, but in fact, Christ has been raised. And that is the hope that we cling to. That is the resurrection we have because Jesus paved the way. And so if you're here today and you believe in this already, if you've come to know Jesus Christ as your resurrection and your life, then loved ones, remember that you have a relationship with a God and your personal Savior who knows no boundaries. Nothing is too hard for him. Maybe you're here today and church is new for you or Jesus is new for you and maybe you've been invited by someone or you've been coming recently and you're thinking, I've never heard John chapter 11. I certainly don't know these I am statements. Your invitation today presented before you as Jesus is going to give an offer to Martha, reminding her in these moments is you can have resurrection hope if you come to Jesus. It's a beautiful invitation that we have, but Jesus is able to resurrect. Now, as we continue in these next few verses, what we're going to find out is Martha's hope in resurrection is not in her current circumstance. And that's so important for us in life. And so point number two, Jesus will resurrect. There is a future longing that we have that Jesus will resurrect. And we see this in verses 23 and 24. So if you go back to verse 23 now with me, as we continue along, Martha's just confessed her faith in Jesus. If you'd been here, but then whatever ask now you ask of God, God will give you. And then Jesus responds, verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. I'd love to know the tone that Jesus said that. Your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. Your brother will rise again. And so in this moment, as Martha responds to what Jesus says, now look at verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. That's our proof that Martha is looking to something beyond her current circumstance. Because otherwise, she'd hear Jesus' words and in the near future, in this moment, in the grief and in the mourning of the passing of her brother, she would say, okay, then Jesus, you're about to do something. But she responds and says, I know that he's going to rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Now, she confirms a reality of her faith that was common for Jews, and it's common for us because in Jesus Christ, other parts of our scriptures teach us the same thing, that we long for a day when Christ will resurrect all things, amen? And that changes the way we go through life. It shapes how we deal with the grief and how we go through seasons of mourning or when we ask the questions, why, or God, if, then we are still able to say, but God, I long for that day. And that propels us in those seasons to be able to say, God, my testimony is that my hope is not in this life, but it's in all of eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. And if you meet someone in life who has that type of hope that is changing them and their perspective is different than yours, that's a powerful moment. In fact, that almost the world looks enviously to that type of hope when they hear about that and they long for that. Or where did you find that? How can I get that? But that is a powerful moment when someone says, beyond my current circumstance, I am longing for what is to come when God makes all things new. The first number of months of our church being planted by God's providence, our church congregation was invited to come along and care for two families who lost each one infant in their family in these first 4 months. And in those moments too, church, we would ask questions like, what is happening here? What is God doing? And the grief and the brokenness and saying, God, this doesn't make sense. Or what really, what good can come all of this? We began to see as time gone by that the church would come alongside and practice the one another's to say, how do we care? How can we pray? How can we provide meals? How do we watch over? How can we show up? And it was a beautiful testimony, even in those moments, beyond a circumstance to say, God is doing something and changing something. And then on top of all that, church, to testify to this type of resurrected hope, you get the parents of these families that say, but Christ is our hope in life and in death. And yes, it's hard. And yes, life is broken. And yes, we don't know why. And yes, we have lots of questions, but we long for a hope that is coming. And our hope is in Jesus that one day he will resurrect not only all things, but he will resurrect all people who put faith in him. That's powerful. And that's what our scriptures teach us as we look for this theme and doctrine about a future hope and what's coming for us. But this is also what Jesus taught over and over again, particularly one chapter where Jesus keeps hitting this nail on the head is John chapter 6 on the screen for you. Just a number of verses, sequential order. In verse 39, Jesus says, he's talking about all the Father has led to him to believe in him, all that he has given me, but I will raise it up on the last day. Next verse, and I will raise him up on the last day, and I will raise him up on the last day, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is the hope that a long person following Jesus longs for in their life because they say, this is what Jesus taught. This is what our Bibles teach. This is what gives us hope and perspective in life and in the trials and the hardships to say, this world is not my home. I am a citizen, not of earth, but a citizen of heaven through Jesus Christ. So this is where the rubber meets the road, where Jesus begins to invite the belief or the faith in him to say, okay, so are you gonna believe that I am the resurrection and the life? Because if you believe this, and even today for the first time you believe this, this is where your life begins to change. Because what would it look like then to be able to go through life and say, no matter what circumstance or whatever happens or whatever God brings into my life, I know that God is working for a purpose. I don't have to question or wonder or go through life and just say this maybe was by chance or what was going on there that I could have prevented. You get to look with confidence and assurance and say, no, my God is always working something for his glory, my good. Or what does it look like to go through life then and maybe to come out of the doctor's office with a diagnosis or to be in the treatment plan or something else very significant health-wise in life and to be able to say, whatever God has brought into my life right now, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I do know what my future holds. Or imagine just looking across the events in our world or scrolling through your news feeds or different things that you hear from people in your life, family or neighbors, whatever it might be, and saying, God, this world feels so broken. God, there's so many questions for why does this continue to happen? Why is creation continuing to long? Why? And you get to have the confidence to say, but God, I know it won't be like this forever. For you are creating and preparing a new heavens and a new earth. I mean, this type of perspective changes the way you go through life. You look to Jesus and you believe in him as the resurrection and the life. You now have a hope that this world is not all there is. And you don't have to fear death. And circumstances and trials begin to make sense as they fit in place. But yes, we say it's so hard. And yes, we say to that, it's so broken. And yes, we say to that other situation, that is so sad. But together under all of that, we say, but so temporary. It will not last forever because we belong to a resurrection hope. I know this year you've been journeying through 2 Corinthians, and Paul writes 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this beautiful truth that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus. I mean, that's the hope that you cling to when you look to Christ and you believe in him as the resurrection and the life, that just as the Son was raised, that there will be a day, whether the Lord calls you home or he returns, when those who put faith in him, he also will raise us with Jesus Christ. That is the hope of the gospel. That's why we plant churches. That's why we meet and have ministries and believe in missions, because we want people to understand that there is a resurrected Savior in the gospel of Jesus. And he lived and he died and on the third day was risen again. And that when you believe in him, you also have resurrected hope. So if you believe that today, be reminded, keep persevering. This world is not all there is. Keep enduring. Keep pressing on. Keep holding on and holding fast to your Savior, Jesus Christ, who is faithful. If you're here today, and again, this is new for you, and you've never really looked to Jesus Christ as the one that could make so much difference and significance in your life, look to him today and say, you want a hope, you want a future, you don't want to fear death, you want context for your circumstances. It's all found in Jesus Christ. I love what John Owen says on the screen for us about the hope that we have of the resurrection. He says, the resurrection of Christ is the great foundation of the faith of the church and the pledge of our future resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ as the resurrection and the life is the foundation of the church. We hold on to it. We believe it because it gives us hope and we become a people of hope. Point number three now today, we see in this key part of our passage, Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. Just to answer the questions that maybe one might be having, or maybe Martha's thinking through in these moments, or others that are around in these moments, Jesus, I hear your teaching about a hope. I hear that one day Lazarus will be resurrected. That's what we're longing for. But then in verse 25, so as to answer the question, where do I find it? Or who is it found in? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And then to explain, how does this all work? What does this mean that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Jesus begins to tell us and point us towards the importance for faith or believing. In these last three verses, 25 through 27, maybe you want to underline these words, believe. Maybe you want to circle them and just draw your attention to this is the key to unlocking resurrection life. Because Jesus says, I am the resurrection, but you must believe in and only in me for all this to be possible. Imagine here today, there might be some wondering, well, what need do I have in my life for anything that needs to be resurrected? Often the way that translates in our life is we say, I feel fine. Particularly when you're younger, you might say, I feel the strongest and the most healthy I've ever been. My mind is fine. Sometimes it translates in our lives to say socially, I feel well connected, I have community, I have people that I love and people that love me. Or sometimes this translates in our world where we look around and we say, look at all the accolades, look at things that I've done, the places that I've been, look at my education, look at my income, look at my investments, look at my toys. Why do I need anything that needs to be resurrected? Outwardly, you may feel that way, but inwardly, the Bible says that apart from Jesus Christ and faith in him, you have a heart of stone. In fact, God gave words to prophet Jeremiah and Ezekiel that said, tell the people that one day I will pour out my spirit on all people, and I will bring a savior to the world one day where he will change their hearts of stone and allow them become hearts of flesh, and I will allow them and cause them to beat for the first time. And so if you're here apart from Jesus Christ today, you might not feel it, but the Bible would say, until you deal with your heart of stone, Jesus Christ now in verse 25 is the answer to the heart beating for the first time in a resurrected life. And as our passage continues, As we're confronted with belief in Jesus, Jesus will hold one important question for Martha. But before we get there, a few things for us to recognize. Just the reality of the resurrection and what happens. Maybe you've never thought about it this way when you put faith in Jesus Christ, but a number of different verses here to help us understand what happens in the person's life when they come to Jesus Christ. Some context in these passages, but the underlined sections here where Paul's writing to the church in Rome and talking about this newness of life that we have when you come to Jesus Christ and put your faith in him. It's like you're alive for the first time. There's a newness that you experience with this perspective and hope that you have. A few verses later in Romans chapter 6 as well, he says, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. When you come to Christ as the resurrection and the life, it's as though you are now dead to sin and alive in Christ Jesus. If you have not come to Jesus Christ as the resurrection and life, you are still dead in sin. Next slide for us. Two more passages, this beautiful passage in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul's describing the way that we used to live, the things that our hearts longed for before Christ. And then in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, but God being rich in mercy, he makes us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, God makes you alive together with Jesus Christ. In this beautiful passage in Colossians 2, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. That's why faith is so important. That's why believing in Jesus as the resurrection and the life is so important, because then God takes the dead heart of stone and turns it into a heart of flesh that beats for the first time and that looks to Jesus and says, yes, I believe he's able. I believe he will, but I believe that he is the resurrection and the life. And when someone believes that life is found in Jesus Christ alone, they no longer have any reason to fear death. Now, Jesus in these verses explains this in two different ways. Second part of verse 25 through 27, twice Jesus will explain what happens. Whoever believes in me, though he or she or anyone, though he die, yet shall he live. And anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, Jesus records this teaching as well in Luke chapter 9 on the screen for us. But just to summarize these two passages of what Jesus is explaining, John chapter 11 today, essentially he's saying, believe in Jesus, and though you die, you actually live because you don't have to fear death anymore. And he says to live and believe in Jesus means to never die because you have eternal life. Similarly, in Luke chapter 9, two different ways Jesus says this. To save your life, you must lose it or surrender it to Jesus. And then to lose your life for Jesus, in other words, means you actually save it. It's kind of strange for us to think about what's going on here, but Jesus is saying the same thing twice. You surrender, you submit, you give your life to Jesus and believe that he is the resurrection and the life, and you actually find life in him. And that's the act or the moment of the dead heart that beats for the first time, saying, I believe that Jesus is my resurrection and my life. You know, some of the best people who understand this hope and resurrection are those who are most near the end. My time here on staff, in group life, I got to know so many of our wonderful seniors in this church. And if you've ever had a conversation with someone who knows that they're likely in the final chapters of life, they explain this type of hope to you in a different and a very unique way. Because they know they're so close. They can almost feel it. And maybe they even describe to you a moment, one day, very soon, I will close my eyes and then open them for the first time to my Jesus Christ in glory. If you've ever had these conversations with people, it almost makes you envy them and covet them to say like, oh, that sounds so amazing. But for as long as God has me and us here on this earth, God, teach us to number our days. Show us ways to long for this hope and live for this hope that bring you glory and honor in the ways that we believe in you as the resurrection in the life. And I think this is what Paul means when he writes in Philippians that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Maybe you remember this verse here. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. This is what God has for me right now. To live is appointed by Christ. It is Christ. And then to die is gain. The follower of Jesus who believes in the resurrection and the life looks to death and looks to the age to come and says, that is gain for me. Because I get my Jesus and I have a resurrection hope. There is no gain in death for those apart from Jesus Christ. That's why year after year, the most popular, if you can call it that, most popular or common fear in life is death itself. Because apart from Jesus Christ, you look to death and you say, I don't know what it brings. I'm afraid of what it brings. What if? How do I know? But when you're in Jesus Christ, you go through life and you say, one day closer to Christ, one day closer to Christ, resurrection hope, resurrected hope. One day this will not be the same. It'll be all made new. That is the hope that a follower of Christ who looks to the resurrection and the life is able to say. And what joy there is to be able to live this life. Some of you here today, there's probably two groups of people. One, you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and you long for that day. I mean, that's how you live your life right now. You look to Jesus. Yes, he's my resurrection and my life. Yes, he's given the dead heart a beating heart now, and my life is changing, and I can't wait for the day when I get to see him. Keep persevering. Keep enduring. Keep reminding yourself that this world is not your home. For those of you here today and have not put faith in Jesus Christ, his invitation to you as the resurrection and the life is one that says, if you want the hope, if you want the joy, if you want the life, if you want the eternity, the future ahead for you, it's found in belief in him as your Lord and Savior who gave his life, paying the price for your sin on a cross, and then as the first fruits paved the way in a resurrected body on the third day, that by believing in him, you would be able to say, yes, Jesus took it for me, and one day, I too will get to see him. I want to close with a question that Jesus asked Martha, verse 26. After explaining two different ways how this works, Jesus has these very simple words, and we'll put it on the screen here that you can see, do you believe this? But I want you to personalize that question today, especially if you are not in Christ, if you have not put your faith in him, even in just a moment as we remember the Lord's Supper today as well, I want you to ask this question, do you believe this? Do you believe that he's the resurrection and the life? Because Martha responds in verse 27 with what she believes in Jesus. She says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. That's John's theme. Remember John chapter 20? Martha gets it. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. So do you believe this today? And if you do, you know resurrection life in Jesus Christ. But if you do not believe this today, today could be the day of salvation, where you submit and bend your knee to Jesus Christ and he gives you a hope that maybe you've been longing for or you've been searching for or the world has been offering you and it never fills the void. I am the resurrection and the life. Come, Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the beautiful truth that Jesus reveals to us that he is the resurrection and the life. And even now as our communion servers come forward, God, we have an opportunity just to remember that Jesus Christ in his death and resurrected life is what we remember in the body and blood of Jesus. We remember the moment when Jesus came and he gave himself, he left his throne and then he gave himself to be crucified on a cross that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. And so God, today we remember that Jesus gave his body, which was broken and beaten, and he shed his blood that would wash whiter than snow. In a few moments, these trays will be passed. We're going to remember these elements together. If you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ as your resurrection and life, we would ask today, according to the scriptures, that you would allow these trays to pass you by. This is for those who are looking to Jesus and saying, I am remembering that is my Savior. That was his body. That was his blood for me. But today could be the day of salvation for some where you say, I want the resurrection and the life. Jesus, I believe. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. So now as we reflect and remember and sing, Jesus, stir our hearts to worship to you. It is all for you. We pray this in Jesus' name.